I'm Bruce Van Dyke.
I'm Craig Adams.
It is the WEOL Morning Show.
September style.
Yes. Are you ready for another do-it-yourself project? Remember last week we learned how we can change up our knobs on our cabinets or maybe even a door. You're laughing at door. You change handles on your doors.
Anything. Have you ever done that? Have you ever taken off the knobs and put on a handle or the other way around?
Well, maybe you've changed them to match something, or if you move into a place that you don't like the knobs, you can change
them. I did that once.
As well.
Bathroom door, sure.
You're like that. Well, today we're going to learn about easy ways to do this with changing the color.
Okay.
We have with us Sue Wadden, who is a color marketing and design manager for Sherwin-Williams. He's also a graduate of Cleveland Institute of Art. He joins us this morning to talk. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning.
So let's talk about some of the things we can do. I know you can put a new color paint on a wall, and it just makes everything, seem new, seem fresh. What are some of the colors that we'll see when we go out there?
Well, I'm not sure how familiar you are with what's going on in color trends, but gray is a color that is everywhere. We spent a bunch of years with builder beige, as I like to call it, with kind of boring neutrals, and shoppers are looking to cool things off with gray.
So I just painted some rooms gray. What's the life expectancy before I'm out of style?
I'm a DIYer as well, so I would say as a designer, my life expectancy is about 3 to 4 years, but average consumers, it's about 5 to 6 years.
So, Craig, why did you go gray instead of that beige? Is it because it seemed to be out there and that's what you were on a trend?
I see more and more of it, and I see different bright colors used with it, blues, oranges, reds, and I like it.
So I guess because I guess the key to that, too, is if you're painting that, sometimes you use the walls as sort of the neutral and then you accent it the other way?
Yeah, that's a really great approach. It allows for you to change things up. If you do accent colors like pillows and throws and blankets, you can keep your paint color consistent over the years, but change out other elements for design.
All right, you work with the folks at Sherwin-Williams. You don't just have gray. I mean, you can't sell just a bucket of gray paint. What do you call those colors now?
You know, we have lots of colors. There's historic colors, or there's fashionable colors, or there's great neutrals. There's lots of collections that we try to inspire our shoppers to purchase paint and think about color in a different way. So it kind of gravitates towards your personal style. I would say that's the most important thing. Pick your favorite colors and build from there.
How do you get what's on a small little square under a light in a store to your home, to the wall, so that it's... So your wife doesn't go, that's not the color I chose. And you're saying it is. It says it here right on the can, and it matches that. How do you kind of be able to visualize the bigger picture for that?
Paint companies do a really good job of not just having the color sample in store, which is your little square, but we also have sample sizes of paint so that you could purchase for a small dollar value a little sample quart of the color and take it home and paint a bigger swatch on your wall and spend some time looking at it. Versus just making a decision from a small paint color chip. But there's also online visualizers where you can upload your room and outline it and put the color on the wall digitally, and it helps to make a better color choice before you commit to painting.
Now, that concept seems like something relatively new. How long has that been around, where you could do it online?
In different versions for about 10 years. The technology keeps getting better and better, so there's apps and online tools that are much easier to use and for the average consumer to use. You just got to start looking around.
Now, I've been watching some videos on painting because there's people posting things, and you say, different companies will have it, or those people who are painters who sort of share their tips. When it comes to working the trim around the edge, does the tape and the gadgets work, or do we want to have a good brush and a steady hand? What can you share there?
Well, I really do like painter's tape. I think it gives a lot of flexibility and forgivability when you paint versus kind of the gizmos and gadgets. I think those add to the frustration when you don't know how to use them right or it doesn't come out the way you want. The key to painter's tape is using it correctly. So if you spend a little time setting it up really accurately, the end result is beautiful.
Now, one question I have here says, what's the most popular paint color of all time? How about white? How about white? White.
That's the honest truth. White is the singular best-selling paint color of all time, but it spans a little bit longer than that. So I always look to historic colors to really tell that story, whether it's a color called Prussian blue or a deep Williamsburg green, a great yellow, or like a stone-colored neutrals. Those have really spanned 150 years of color.
Wow. The guy that invented that paint color, he's sitting there going, "That's my paint color. I came up with that one."
That leads me to, where do you come up with the names? You know, you go to you look at the paint samples and you've got 15 shades of green and they've all got these rather inventive names. Where do they come from? Who sits around and does this?
It doesn't really sound like a real job, does it?
No.
But it's actually my job. It's, part of my responsibility is to make sure consumers understand the nuances between reds and how do we do that. So I try to tell a story when we're naming colors, and you can do that when you think about a name like Iced Amethyst. You know, that to me says a really light purple. So we try to communicate that through the language of color names.
And it's another way also, I guess, to kind of look at a piece of color of a paint or the paint and sort of give an impression. There's a little bit of your style in that, and sometimes the names of it also maybe reflect a little bit of
it.
It
does, and the trick is longevity, because paint colors last 25 years. I mean, they really, there's a lot of history in paint colors, so you try not to be real trendy and use names that are just in the moment but have sort of a longer lifespan.
Now, Bruce, I see that one is called Old Swimming Hole. What do you think that would be, Bruce?
Well, I would think, to me, it has a little bit of, it's a blue kind of, but I think there's might be a little bit of green in that as well. At least that's
my opinion. A little bit of green and a little bit mossy.
Huh.
That's not too bad. Boston Tea Party. I like that one there too. Does that have a little bit of a brownish color? Or
it does. It's like a tea-soaked tan.
And, of course, this is one of those things where people, but they don't even have to go with colors that have names. They can bring something that has, if they're decorating things, the couch. We like that couch color. We don't know what it is. And that paint companies like Sherwin-Williams, they can match something like that, right?
Absolutely. The technology is there that really whatever color you need, we can match and make in the appropriate product.
And people are going to probably start looking as, we come indoors now in this time of the year, and that's where we sort of sit and stare at the wall thinking, we got to do something at it, And as we've talked before, painting is probably one of the most inexpensive ways to really change up your interior, right?
It really is. And it's not just about painting your walls. It's painting furniture or smaller projects that can really enhance a space, like you were saying before, just changing out the knobs on your cabinets. What about painting your kitchen island a different color and offsetting the rest of your kitchen? It really makes a nice impact in a small amount of time, affordably.
Well, before we get started, give me one or two of the things that we do wrong. How not to get on the wrong foot? What are some of the mistakes we seem to make if we're going to start a project like this?
Well, as a designer, I think it's important to have a bigger vision for your project. Instead of just thinking about one room, consider your whole room as a whole. And you've probably been in homes, or maybe it's your own home, where one room really stands out. It's not always a great thing. It's better to balance your whole home and think about a project on a larger scale. And it doesn't mean that you have to do it all at the same time, but just to have a bit of a vision for your home is really helpful.
Well, you do know that once you start painting one wall in your house, eventually other walls will want to be painted as well. And then the room that you can sort of see down the hall, and then the upstairs. So it's kind of if you're going to get into it, that there's going to be a long project. But I think the key to it, though, is once you get started, if you get into a routine, the other walls don't seem as challenging because you've kind of got into the whole situation,
right, rhythm
of doing that whole thing. If people want to find out more about some colors or maybe some do-it-yourself tips, do you have a place for them to check out to get some good details?
We do. Dutch Boy is a great brand that's under the Sherwin-Williams umbrella, and we just launched a brand new website, dutchboy.com, that talks about inspiration and projects. It's a great resource.
Sounds good. Sue Wadden, thanks for joining us this morning. We appreciate your time today.